Yeah, I'll have to take a step back and look at things here in the offseason. Obviously, I love this team. I love what this team was able to accomplish. A lot of love for the guys on this team and love playing with them. So I will take a step back and look at that. But right now, it's just really can't think about anything but how close we were and this loss.
Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Go to allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville for all the info you need. That was Ryan Tannehill, the Titans quarterback, who figures to have a new contract of some sort here. Well, we hope it's here.
Yeah, we do. We really do. Within reason.
Yes.
Within reason. You know, if not, we're going to be talking about bridge quarterbacks. Not bridge tackles.
Oh, what do you think about that? I brought my draft board today in case we need it.
Oh, Mark's got his big board ready. It's been on hold right now. May never know. We have a breaking deal. Maybe they got a deal done already. Who knows? I don't know. I sure hope so.
Our next guest is, of course, one of the outstanding sports writers in this area, the Hall of Famer and the sports writer of the year for the state of Tennessee, Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, what's up this morning?
Well, not too much, but thank you so much, Kevin and Blaine. It's amazing how quickly our attention turns from this incredible run to now who's going to be back.
Yeah, I know.
How do you see that challenge of Tannehill and Henry and some of the others, you know, with contract situations that have to be addressed?
Well, here's the thing. The Titans knew, or at least anticipated, that they were going to have to pay a quarterback in 2020. They thought and hoped it would be Marcus Mariota. Mm-hmm. That's why they picked up the fifth-year option. But now, it's Ryan Tannehill. So, you know, let's face it, the money should be there. The big question for me isn't so much, you know, yes, they've got to keep Derrick Henry at this point, right? I mean, you know, I just don't see them letting either of those two go. And now the question is, do they end up using franchise tag and transition tag to buy some time, see exactly what that market ends up being? Those are questions certainly that I've got, but, you can't let those two go. I'm more worried, what do you do, Logan Ryan? Jack Conklin played really, really well this year, but is that a guy that, you know, you saw them go out into the draft and get a guy to replace your right guard in Nate Davis. That might be the cheapest way to help you deal with some of all these other positions on the board.
Teresa, you know, you're out there every day covering the team. We talked about, you know, Mike Vrabel and his growth as a coach. What did you see most out of him, especially in the second half of the season?
Well, I think probably the fourth down decision. I mean, let's face it. So I think we all remember the fourth down in Jacksonville, and we're like, why did you go for that then? I think it ended up in a sack, and then there was one in Atlanta where they had a lead, and, you know, he took one later. And I think we did see maybe the growth of this coach in his second full season. You know, probably if you want to call it coach finishing school, maybe it was the stare down using that Belichick loophole in New England in that game. So if you're a Titans fan, you know, 2 years ago they introduced him as the new coach, and they said they did the move, firing Mike Mularkey to go to Mike Vrabel because they wanted to compete for championships. And we saw that happen in two short years. You know, as disappointing as yesterday was, missing out on an AFC championship game, the fact of the matter is they were there for the first time in 17 years. So, you know, now the question is, how did he and John Robinson further develop this roster? Because we can look at yesterday and see some areas that were missing. You know, pass rush, you know, that's been an issue for them all season long, that Dean Pease had to help scheme up things to help them get to the quarterback. And, you know, so it doesn't feel like this team is that far away if they make the right decisions in free agency and on their own roster of who to keep first and then the draft.
Teresa Walker is our guest from the Associated Press. Mm.
Teresa, I guess, what was the overall, I guess, vibe? I'm sure it was down in the locker room, and it hit them yet that, you know what, the game is over and that the season's over and that it was a great little run.
Well, Blaine, you've been there. You know how tough that is. It's almost like you've been running and you think you're going to a Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden you're going off the cliff with a loss, and it's so sudden it is heartbreaking. And, you know, that was a team, that was a locker room that has been so confident. They believed in themselves, you know, that confidence that they thought they were going to find a way to get it done. And then when when it's a loss and your season is suddenly over, Vrabel said after the game yesterday, I haven't got any exit schedules or things like that. Hadn't looked that far ahead, you know, just trying to figure out what was going on today. So, you know, that's what happens in the postseason. And so now it's, you know, the clock stopped, the record's been jerked to a stop, and now suddenly it's a complete 180 almost into how they move forward. And that's what I'm curious to see, because, you know, suddenly Senior Bowl's later this week. So, you know, John Robinson's scouts are going to have to deal with that. And, you know, then before you know it, we've got the combine in just over a month. And so, yes, it's suddenly you, when you play this deep into January, you know, remember Bill Belichick would always finish up after winning a Lombardi Trophy and say, we're 5 weeks behind. Well, the Titans right now, they're not 5 weeks behind. They're about 4 weeks behind.
Right. What was your overall view of this whole season, if you're going to sum it up?
Huge success. And I think you also have to say some serious resilience. I mean, this team was 2-4 and one win away from becoming the first team to start 2-4 and get to a Super Bowl. Mm. So, you know, forget that thing about sixth seed, you know, but trying to become the first sixth seed since the 2010 Packers to get to a Super Bowl. You know, they had a chance to do something that just hadn't been done before. Now, the problem is you don't want to start 2-4. And I think what we saw with this run is just how tough it can be to play, you know, yes, the regular season had them scheduled, but they played four straight road games in a row. So, you know, guess what, guys? Anyone who's traveled a lot, that takes a toll on you, just simply having to repack and get back on a plane and come back. You know, they had the extra day between games this week, but, you know, at a certain point, that kind of help takes a toll as well. So, you know, this team also needs to try to find a way to host a playoff game. That hadn't been done here since 2008, so that's still on the to-do list.
We're speaking to Hall of Fame writer Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. Teresa, I was saying, too, that, you know, for so long, it was the Super Bowl season that the Titans fans, you know, basically used to keep themselves warm, you know, during some lonely winters. And it's nice now for younger Titans fans or those of a certain age to have a team they could wrap their arms around. And, you know, maybe this city sort of maybe fell in love with the Titans again. Maybe we'll see better attendance next year. Maybe we'll see a new surge of popularity for this team, which is certainly earned it. This team was about as likable as it gets. Low diva factor, sort of blue collar work ethic, tough, physical, you know, all that. And, you know, so what about that narrative going into the off season and the next year?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this generation now has the win in New England against that franchise, going into Baltimore and beating Lamar Jackson, a team that comes to Nashville this next season. So, and as Mike Vrabel pointed out just a week ago, underdogs, yeah, we've got about 20,000 of the opposing fans in our stand every week. So, you know, we'll see the first home game how much this has helped, but it should, because, you know, my son's almost 21, and, you know, he didn't remember all the glamour stuff. You know, he didn't remember the Super Bowl run, that stretch with the AFC Championship game in Oakland. You know, he was a baby at the time. So this generation now has something they can put their hands around and say, and stars that they can look to, that they can see in person, and it should help. Now, you know, the last 2 weeks, the first time I've seen Titan flags, you know, flying on cars in a very, very long time. So, I mean, shoot, people turned out for that downtown watch party yesterday. I stayed cozy in front of my fireplace. So I think the enthusiasm is there. But, you know, now we're going to have to see if they can kind of build on that this offseason and capitalize on it when the season starts in September.
Covering Grizzlies today?
No. If Zion Williamson were in the lineup, but he's not getting back on the court until a few days from now, I'd love to be down there. But, you know, we've got the clean out of the locker room this afternoon and Mike Vrabel for one last time before the free agency, all that fun stuff starts. So I'll be there. But, yes, that's going to be an exciting game. Every time John Morant steps on the court, guys, it's a highlight reel.
Teresa, thanks for the time. And, again, congrats on winning Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you so
all right,
much.
Okay, we'll see you. That is Teresa Walker from the AP, Hall of Fame writer in this year's AP, or this year's Sports Writer of the Year, three times for Teresa Walker. When we come back, Mark, we'll have our lead company hot performer, Coach Mack, coming up at 8 o'clock as well here on The Zone. First, let's roll down I-40 to Wilson County. Mitchell Bone joins us.
That's right. Wilson County Automotive Family, a Bone family tradition since 1927, and that includes Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Mitchell Bone, hope you're keeping warm. Good morning.
Good morning. I am doing my best. How about you, sir?
I am great. And tell us about the New Year's sale.
Well, it is going on strong. We have some fantastic deals to start off 2020. We've got Silverados with huge discounts. We've got 0% financing on select GMCs, and of course, great deals on Buicks. And we have just a ton of great pre-owned vehicles right now in a wide variety of makes and models that are suited for any budget. I'm really proud of that. And we've got them all online, of course, at WilsonCountyMotors.com. Pick out your perfect vehicle there and then come see us. We'll even pull the car in out of the cold for you so that you can take a look for it. We're at exit 236 off I-40 in Lebanon, just 20 minutes to the east of the Nashville Airport.
Sounds great, Mitchell. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Great people, great deals, fantastic service. Hey, they'll give you a warm car in nearby Lebanon.